from the educational capital of Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Not even a little bit.
From the education, the number one podcast in education. The most educational podcast on the network.
Networks.
I mean, this is Thursday.
This is probably the least educational show that we do.
That's not true.
Because, I mean, the other option is Tuesday, because, like, Nerd Up and PWU, and they have a thing that we run. Well, then again, we do talk. Whenever we have a topic for these shows, like Tuesday or Thursday, they become educational.
I like education.
Right. But you know what I don't like, Shannon?
What?
The education system.
And that's what we're going to talk about tonight on Podzilla 1985. It's Tanner Thursday. It's cold out there. You might not know it in Cape Girardeau because it started off so warm.
And it'll be warm again next week. Did you see next Saturday it's supposed to be back up to 70?
I did not. And now I'm confused.
It's the end of the world.
Welcome to Southeast Missouri.
Be careful out there tomorrow, kids. If you're listening to this on the road, make sure that you are being safe. If you have to get out on the road, the ice apocalypse is coming. What's our death tally up to right now, Lindsay?
I don't know.
Zero so far. But it could change at any moment.
Since the ice has
You, ice!
One wormel.
Because I don't think the ice has even started falling anywhere yet.
No,
it's supposed to start hitting St. Louis like at 2 or 3 in the morning.
But it is cold. It's cold and it's getting colder. And it was 70 degrees this morning. So it's the times are changing out there. It's going to get dangerous, probably. Be safe. But that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. Welcome to Tanner Thursday. My name is Shannon Young. I'm your host for this evening, Mr. 100. I've been forgetting to say my name lately. And I don't want anyone to forget.
I do that on Sundays quite a bit.
Because you're so used to introducing everybody else, you forget to introduce yourself.
That's true.
I've also really been trying to slow down my speech. Because I notice that whenever I do these shows, I go so fast sometimes. When you get me and Asa together, it's like listening to Chippendale. If you speed it up just a little bit, you swear we were going to go stop Fat Cat. But Fat Cat hasn't been in here since the D&D fiasco, so...
Oh, no!
No! Snaps!
I like where he took it.
Jesse Kimball's here with us tonight.
Hey, what up?
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
You settled some Catan earlier.
No, I had some settlements, but inevitably it was all taken from me.
And then what happened?
I heard
you flipped out.
Oh, no, I got here and then Dalton started running his mouth as Dalton is wont to do.
Right.
And so...
Press start to join's favorite, Dalton Anthony.
I mean,
who unfortunately couldn't be here tonight with us.
It's true. It's true. So yeah, he just started running his mouth. So I flipped the chair that he was in and dumped him into the floor.
That's one of my favorite stories from school, actually. And I'll get to that in a little bit because that's what we're here to talk about tonight. Also with us tonight, the lovely blue Lindsay Wolfgang.
I am very blue tonight, aren't I?
You're very blue, but I like that hoodie.
I do too.
What kind of hoodie is that again?
It's North Face.
North Face. Is it keeping you warm?
It is.
Because it's cold out there.
You know.
It was actually me and Lindsay were talking about this in a car ride the other day, and that's where we got the inspiration to talk about tonight's subject, which we're going to do in just a second after I introduce making her first appearance on Tanner Thursday, her third show this week. That must be a treat. Ali Hebert.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, yeah. Now that we're all here.
You remember that time that you and I did 5 shows in 1 week?
I do. Remember the time we did, 2 or 3 shows in 1 day?
Oh, no, we did. Yeah, we did 2 shows in 1 day. Because we did it was a Nerd Up in the morning. Because that was back when we were doing Nerd Up in the mornings. And then we did a Sunday Random Sunday at night. That was a fun time.
No, it wasn't. Sometimes I don't like doing 1 show, much less 2. Hey, I do want to send a special shout out to the guys up north at the Press Start to Join show for giving Dalton praise. That was really cool of you guys. And he really appreciated it. It's nice that you're giving, you know, a little bit of attention to the weak link. Because, you know, stupid babies need the most attention. It's a shame Dalton couldn't be here tonight to hear that, but I'm sure he'll hear it tomorrow.
Oh, he will. He always listens to the show.
Yes, Lindsay?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
You don't like stupid babies?
I don't like babies in general, but that's another story.
That's another show. Well, tonight we're talking about education. Because we saw a video, Lindsay and I saw a video. I think did we see it the same day somehow?
I think I'd seen it a couple days prior, and then I don't remember how it came up in conversing. I'm sure it had something to do with finances, but...
Probably. But it was a video about education and how the educational system is lacking. And so we want to talk about that a little bit. And, you know, get in deep on it. But before we do, Jesse, I want to say something.
What you got?
I got two things to say.
Okay.
First, this has nothing to do with education, but I feel it's worth mentioning, is if you saw the Donald Trump news conference yesterday, you saw, one,
oh god,
you saw a shit show, and you better get used to that shit show, because you got four more years of it.
You basically saw a nationally televised campaign rally.
Yeah.
Because he used the same buzzwords and same topics that he covered in all of his campaign rallies.
Yes.
Including stuff that's already been debunked, and he just keeps spouting.
Yeah, yeah. It's part of the course. But it's like he told the woman, I don't remember the reporter's name, who called him out on his tax returns. He can't release them because he's being audited. Yes, you can. But like he said, no one cares about that. Well, why don't they care? Because I won. So clearly he did it right, right?
Clearly.
But that's not what I want to talk about. What
apparently
I want to talk
about. CNN is fake news.
That's what I want to talk about. Jim Acosta, who is a CNN reporter, was at the press conference to ask a question, and Donald Trump basically belittled him and CNN as a whole for fake news because they had the audacity to publish a article about the Intel report from over the weekend that I'm not going to say what was in it because none of it's confirmed, but it happened.
Yeah.
Like, this Intel report exists. Joe Biden today said, yes, we were briefed on it, despite the fact that Donald Trump said, no, it doesn't exist. Donald Trump is a liar. That's no surprise there.
Correct.
Jim Acosta, when asking questions about, you know, the Trump presidency, Trump belittled him and said, you know, you're fake news and I'm not going to take questions from you. Basically just completely shut down CNN because they have the audacity to publish articles that aren't Trump friendly. And that's what you have to look forward to in this next 4 years. And that's what I wanted to just say real quick. That's a shame that any journalist would be called out like that for doing their job.
And honestly, like, that's just, the GOP has spun this fake news thing brilliantly because it started with, like, a lot of news outlets were talking about all the fake news on Facebook that got Trump elected.
Yes.
That was legitimately fake news from fake sources. And so now the GOP has gotten to where, like, anything that doesn't fit their narrative, they just call fake news.
And people eat it up. Like salivating dogs that they are.
Every single Trump supporter.
Well, not every single. I hope to God there is someone out there who is seeing this and has changed their mind on Donald Trump. And I know
they're no longer a Trump supporter.
Yeah, they no longer. Yeah, okay, I get your point.
Yeah.
Point taken. Even Shepard Smith from Fox News. Fox News, which is basically Trump HQ when it comes to news, other than Breitbart, which, by the way, after Donald Trump said, no, you're fake news, I'm not going to talk to you, he then took a question from Breitbart.
Yeah.
Do you remember the articles we read from Breitbart a couple weeks ago about how women are ruining the internet for men, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, Breitbart is one of those things, like, you'd think you were reading The Onion.
Yeah, except it's real.
Except, like, yeah, there are people that take it seriously, and then they take it seriously. And sometimes they report true stuff just in such a partisan manner.
Yeah. And the very essence of journalism, at its core, is unbiased reporting. That is what a journalist is. A journalist reports the news. They don't spin an opinion on it. Breitbart is an opinion site that mixes news with it. CNN is a news site that has opinion articles. That is what it is. And I am sickened by what I saw yesterday. It pisses me off. And the audacity of Donald Trump to call CNN fake news and then support Breitbart. And like you said, support fake news all over Facebook that got him elected about Hillary Clinton, about ping pong comet or whatever it was. It's just, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's just god awful. And shame on everybody over there.
And then, to move away from that into our main topic,
Sorry, because we
were going to keep going.
We are because,
I wanted to make sure I mentioned something about education before we actually got into it. One of the things I wanted to make sure we said.
I think this is what I was going to say.
About teachers?
Yeah. About our support?
Okay, yeah, because,
were you going to say the same thing?
Basically, yeah, I was going to say that, like, no matter what gets said here, no matter how you guys take it, I want everyone to keep in mind, because I know we have teachers that listen to us. We have teachers that support us. We have friends that are teachers. And we want to make sure that it's very clear that we absolutely love what you do. We appreciate you. You are some of the best people in the country, and you absolutely deserve way more money than what you're getting.
I heard that there was a controversy brewing about tonight's topic before we ever sat down to do the show. Just when I said on Tuesday that we would be talking about education tonight, I know there were some people that we know that got upset or got worried. Well, what are they going to say? Because they know me and how much I run my mouth off about things, and they know you of how much you run your mouth off about things when we get passionate about something.
Yes.
They know Lindsay's a bitch.
I can be.
And then Allie runs her mouth occasionally.
No.
Most people are worried about Lindsay, let's be honest.
that's who most people are worried about.
I haven't dropped any F-bombs yet.
But I didn't know there was a controversy around this because I didn't even know that it was a thing.
Honestly, it wasn't so much. It sparked conversation that became a little heated, I think. Like, I don't think that this topic by itself caused controversy. But obviously, when you're talking with people in that field, it's going to...
Or any field.
Yeah. If you talk to anybody about any, like, their field, like, I can't think of anything I would get heated about in IT or video game sales, but.
Well, I got heated about the Trump thing because, you know, I took journalism in school. That's what I wanted to be, was a journalist. This is as close as I've gotten to it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
So when
I hear them talk about journalists that way and I hear them, you know, calling out fake news for no reason other than to be a hypocrite when you yourself support fake news, like, I get heated on stuff like that. I'm heated right now, but I didn't think that this carried any controversy on it because I didn't know anyone that thought we weren't in complete support of teachers, because we are.
Yeah.
Every single one of us, I think, here. Allie, you have personal ties teaching.
I still have a handful of my favorite teachers from high school on Facebook and talk to them regularly.
I have a few teachers from my college that I have on Facebook that I'm friends with. Tony Gerard was one of my favorite teachers. John Musgrave taught me a lot about journalism. He was my journalism teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of a single teacher. No, that's a lie. I was going to say I can't think of a single teacher that didn't shape me in some way. Well, no, I guess she did shape me. There was one teacher, I think I've told this story on the air before, there was one teacher at college that used her class as a platform to push her liberal agenda. And people accuse us of being liberals all the time, but it's not true. This teacher was a straight-up liberal who I literally got an A on my midterm because I wrote an article about how George Bush was the worst president ever. And just based on that title and subject alone, she gave me an A. So she was pushing her left-wing, crazy liberal agenda. And when I dared to call her out on it in the paper, which is how I got the paper shut down at my college for years, she made it a personal vendetta against me, and she called me out in class. Not to my face, mind you, but Bob was in one of her classes, and she literally said, "We have some of his friends in here, so I can't say too much about it." And then everyone stared at Bob, which was super awkward.
Yeah. So basically, this podcast certainly leans to the left. What you're telling me is this woman is so left wing she flies in circles.
She did. Yeah. And she was awful. I'm not going to say her name because I don't want to get on her list because she said if anything ever happened to her, she has a list that was going to the FBI. I'm not kidding.
Oh, dear God.
This woman is crazy.
Quick story about this teacher, just for funds. There was a black student in her class, and she was giving a whatever about African Americans. And she was talking about them, and she looked at this black student, and she said something about the struggle of black people, and then said, "Am I right, brother?"
Oh, no.
To which he replied, "We all right. We don't need your help." She also blacklisted him for daring to cross her. So, yeah, most teachers I've known have been amazing. Carolyn Holm, you're not listening, but you
yeah, no, none of my great teachers are listening, but I do. I also have two teachers, two of my teachers. Anyway, I have a lot more than that on my friends list, but I have two teachers that I had when I was in high school. I don't think I have any of my college teachers on Facebook, but there were a few there that I really liked as well. But yeah.
I don't remember any of my high school teachers. That's the only reason.
I have my high school art teacher on my friends list. I've had coffee at her house a few times.
The main one is Dr. Nikolai, which, was he there when you were still there, Allie?
Yeah, I actually had him for a Shakespeare class.
Yeah, oh, he gets really impassioned about Shakespeare.
Yeah.
That's actually, like, he has a PhD, obviously, Dr. Nikolai.
Dr. Dre never got a PhD.
But did he? He had his specialization was in Shakespearean literature.
Dr. Dre?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Dre.
That's who we're talking about.
So sorry.
So, yeah, no, I took an independent study with Doc to do Shakespeare because I couldn't fit it in my schedule otherwise. Because, yeah, he gets really impassioned about that class.
I love that class. And
that's
great.
That's the best part about teachers, the passionate teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, and I think that's what the point you're trying to make right now is that we in 100% support all teachers, especially passionate teachers who teach not because it's a job, but because they want to help shape people the way they were shaped when they were in school.
Right. Cause I don't think that any teacher that's going to be happy in the field got into it because they wanted to make money or got into it for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, if any teacher that got into it for that reason is going to be very unhappy.
Very disappointed.
Yeah, you get into that field because you want to help students. Like, you want to help the kids.
That's the reason I got into journalism. My dad wanted me to be a nurse because they made more money. I don't want to be a nurse. I want to be a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher. I actually went to college originally for teaching.
I don't even like hospitals. Why would I want to work in one?
Well, I don't like kids. And that's why I stopped trying to be a teacher.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I thought for a while, oh, I'll be a teacher. Oh, wait, I hate kids.
Yeah.
Well, be a high school teacher. I hate teenagers even more.
Well, be a college teacher. Nah, no. I'm not smart enough.
Yeah, no, it's one of those
things. Just the honest fact.
Like, I do like kids in small doses. So I feel like I could probably be a teacher, but at the same time, like, I don't want to put in that kind of commitment. Like, I wouldn't be committed enough to the job.
Plus, I would be so afraid of, like, teaching them the wrong thing. Like, I don't know if that's a fear that teachers have, that they go home at night and think, oh, shit, what did I do to those kids today?
No, it's, well, no, I'm not going to know.
Well, because, I mean, you also get, like, stories of teachers.
You also get the Peggy Hills.
God. Now that's substitute teacher of the year 3 times in a row, Lindsay. She's doing something right.
Man, no, because you do hear stories about, like, the terrible teachers that, like, a kid calls them out because they were wrong, and or they, you know, they just do something completely incorrect, and whenever they get called out, they just get angry.
I had a middle school teacher that I went down to the library to get a book to join one of the reading groups. And the librarian yelled at me because I interrupted one of her classes, even though I politely waited at the side until she was done talking to the class. And then she went upstairs to tell my teacher that she was rude for letting a student go down. And then my teacher proceeded to yell at me in front of the entire class because I made her look bad.
Neat.
I never had those teachers. My teachers were always cool. Or maybe they were just cool to me. Because you know what I was as a student? Respectful and charming.
Yeah, I was the same. I can't ever remember a teacher that, like, got in a student or another teacher's face in front of any of us. Like, there's been the, we're going out to the hall and having a discussion.
I saw one teacher get upset at a student because I made her upset at a student. It was in college, again. Chad, you know Chad.
Yeah.
Told that lovely story about me on Thanksgiving a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He was skipping class. Miss Holm, Carolyn Holm, she taught English and literature, and I took a lot of her classes. Chad skipped her class, but he was still at school because he was hanging out with us. We ran the school, more or less. We played Uno in our free time. And depending on who you listen to after that article was published, that's all we ever did. But so Chad's there hanging out with us. I see Carolyn Holm. He ducks down behind the table. So she doesn't see him. Because this is like an hour after her class ended. And I yell out, hey, Miss Holm. And I move. Here's Chad. Didn't he miss your class today for some reason?
Oh, you were the worst kind of person.
She said, Chad, can I talk to you? And walked him into a corner and had a discussion. And it was a good time and I enjoyed it.
Because, I mean, I've seen students get yelled at. But yeah, I very much, like, I never had any confrontations with teachers. All of my teachers loved me. There were even a few of them that let me sleep in their class as long as I kept my grades up.
I never had that right.
I had a history teacher. Yeah. I sat right in front of his desk and I would fall asleep if he played a video. But he didn't do anything. Then the kid next to me would fall asleep and he would not act the same way.
Doodled on all of my notebooks blatantly in front of all the teachers. But at the same time, if I was called on and I could answer, they didn't say anything.
Exactly. Yeah, the way I see it, because like the two that really come to mind, French. I slept in that class all the time, especially French too, because I had that class right after lunch.
Well, French is a class you don't really need to pay attention to.
I mean, I was still one of the top students in the class.
I did not do so well in French.
Did you have Mrs. Stevens?
Oui,
for everyone.
I actually, no. I can't remember her name.
Because I don't remember when she retired.
But that does not sound like her name, so.
Oh yeah, I mean, I know Mrs. Stevens was almost, I think she was gonna retire like a year or two after I left, but. No, she loved me. And yeah, as long as, like, I would wake up if she called on me. But yeah, no, that classroom was always
warm. I would
warm.
Wake up if she called on me. Yeah. I like to think she had to summon you.
All right, Jesse, nobody else has got this one. What Jesse,
She hits the Jesse signal.
But no, there was that one. And then the other one that was really funny, was my calculus class. Slept in that one a lot. Which just, it was at the end of the day. That classroom was also really warm and the teacher was very soft spoken. So it was just, it was that perfect combination of like, it's nap time for Jesse.
It didn't help that they served you warm milk. Like that was the confusing part.
That was really, it's like they wanted me to nap. No, cause I remember that one being particularly frustrating for another couple of people that were in my class. There were a couple of real overachieving students. Mm-hmm. Like I remember one of them, like she was well known around the school for like around finals time. And, Allie, you might know who I'm talking about because I think she was about a year or two, maybe 2 years ahead of you.
You're going to put her on blast?
Oh no, I'm not going to say her actual, well, shiza, she doesn't listen to the show. Allie Ewan, you know who that is?
No.
Okay.
You just assume all Allies know each other?
Yes. No, she was just, the fact, like, the thing is, she was in my class, my math class when I was a senior, when she was she was a sophomore whenever she was in that band? Class. No.
Because there was an Allie in band that graduated my freshman year.
There's a lot of alleys in that school. Yeah. There's a big school.
Too many alleys.
But anyway, no, like she, around finals time, she actually had a finals binder. And this was like a 5-inch, 3-ring binder separated by class of all the studying she would do. And I remember in this particular math class.
What is the studying you speak of?
Yeah, cramming before tests.
I didn't even do that.
I did something.
In high school?
Like,
no.
High school did not prepare me for college at all.
No, high school, I just went in and took the test.
You guys, I was homeschooled.
Oh, yeah.
I had no preparation for anything.
To be fair, Ben Martin was homeschooled. He beat the crap out of me in college. Not literally, okay, but grade-wise. So math class. I remember every test, the teacher would post the top scores on the board. Like, she would just write down the three highest scores on the test. And I was number one in all but one test. And I remember there were two, like, just overachieving students in that class. The names were Allie and Jenny. And they would both get so mad at me when they would come into class and see my name above theirs. I remember one time, like, the teacher wasn't in the room yet, or she had to go get something. And, Jenny just starts screaming at me, like, "You were always asleep. How are you the number one on the board?" And I was just laughing.
Did you just shrug and go back to bed?
Yeah, I'm going to take a nap.
Just pull out your pina colada. You had one at the time.
But no, I think this is a great transition here, because what I was saying, high school did not prepare me for college at all. Because in high school, I never studied a day. I didn't.
Like, I wasn't excited for high school.
I didn't study in college.
I did.
Well, no, hold on, Lindsay. No, back up, because you say you didn't study in college, but I guarantee you, your animation and the stuff that you went to college for, you studied that like a hawk, didn't you?
Well, it wasn't a matter of studying. I just absorbed it because I was interested in it.
Exactly. And that is my problem with school in general, is that can we transition into the real thing we were talking about?
Absolutely.
The anger part?
Yeah.
Of what I hate about school, and it started in high school, was that you had to take so many of these classes that you had no interest in the life you wanted. Some of it I understand. You need to be prepared for things. It's helpful to know science. It's helpful to know history. If you don't learn from the past, you make the same mistakes in the future. I get that. But then when I got to college especially, you forced me to take classes that I have no interest in that I will never use in life. I will never. Ever. I guarantee you, in the years that I've been out of college, I have not used trigonometry one time. I have not used a lot of the classes that I had to take to get my hours, to get my credits. When I wanted to be a journalist, when I wanted to be an artist, I wanted to be creative. So why do I have to take these classes that don't appeal to me and that I'm forcing myself to go through just to get a grade, just so I can get a piece of paper that says I went to college and learned the things that I did learn? And when I should be taught what I am leaning towards, like what I'm interested in.
Yeah, college is definitely way worse than high school for that. And because I feel you. For my, okay, I have a degree. My Bachelor of Science degree is with computer science. I have a minor in mathematics. To get that degree, I also took classes such as RC 101. That's recreation and leisure sports. I had to take this to get my degree.
Yeah, we had to take a gym class.
Yeah.
I took the dumbest thing possible, but.
Archery?
No.
Archery is a class that was an option.
Dance. Well, of course you need to know dancing to do animation.
Yeah.
So, I had to take that class. I had to take, PY 101, which is a psychology course. I had to take, and I mean, some of these classes were interesting.
Yeah. And I think this
some
is the important.
Some of them are to make you well-rounded as a person.
And it's good to be well-rounded, but no one that isn't going into a mathematical field needs to know math.
I don't need to take.
It was advanced math.
I don't need to take. And I think it was. I don't even think it was 100. I think it was. Or I don't think it was 101. I think it was just straight up RC 100 was the course that I needed to take. That class was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
There was zero reason for me to take that class other than to fulfill an elective.
Now here's the part
to get more money from you.
Here's the part where it's important that we say this is why we wanted to mention the thing about teachers earlier, because we are not criticizing teachers who teach these classes that we weren't interested in.
Yeah.
There are students that will take classes that I was never interested in because that wasn't my thing, but they are. Because
I took this class with rec majors. You remember Chris Howe?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I was talking to him about this class because he was a recreation like major. That's what he did. That's what he does. Like I think he's a like some kind of park activities manager now. Or like a park director or something like that. And yeah, like that's what he was interested in, that's what he did. And I college at least you only have to take one of these entry level courses. Which isn't so bad because sometimes you might take something and figure out that, holy crap, I really like this. And then it might change your major.
Yeah, but some things are guaranteed not to do that.
That's like true. Oh, God. But if we go back to high school, because I think that's where our real trouble is, because high school is absolutely required. You have to, you don't have to do it, but you have to do it for at least a couple of years.
In college, though, I just real quick, I'm not going to cut you off anymore for the next few seconds, but when I got to college, one of the first classes I had to take was, and again, I went for an arts major, and I did journalism. That's what I wanted to do with my life. And I had to take a math class. And it was an advanced, I don't remember if it was calculus, it was something big. And I was always bad at math in general. Like, I got through my math classes in high school because it was basic, algebra, stuff like that. That I could do, but I hated it. So now I have to take these classes to get my degree, and I almost flunked out my first semester in the math class that I took because it was so fast. I don't remember the teacher's name. He was a great math teacher. He was so smart, and he tried his hardest to help me. But everybody else was better than me. And when he taught to them, and I tried to keep up, basically. And I almost flunked out. I dropped that class because I knew I was going to flunk. I did terrible. And I took a math class later with a different teacher that I understood better, and I got through it. But that's the key words, is I got through it.
That's, yeah.
And then again, how many years I've been out of college now? You know how many times I've used a single thing that they taught me in those classes?
Not once.
Waste of time for me. Not for everybody, but for me, it felt like a waste of time.
I have a C on my transcript because of my math class, and I took the easiest math class possible in college.
So you would think, well, that's a perfect example of why you need to take math then, because you weren't good at it. Yeah, but where's the practical use for me with math?
Honestly, I don't feel like that's one of those things that I don't think you should have to take in college. Like you in high school, you should take. Everybody should be required to take at least algebra.
Yes.
Like I know
basic level classes for every.
And I
subject.
Know a lot of people talk about like, well, I don't want to do any math at all. Like, no, algebra is important.
You need to know how to figure out things in life.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, mostly,
it might not involve numbers, but I mean, it's basic problem solving.
Right.
You need the mathematical problem solving and creative problem solving to do well.
And a lot of that stuff you learn in algebra.
Yeah.
I don't think that everybody should be required to take,
trig, pre-cal.
Trig,
like
pre-calc.
I had to take.
Yeah, no, that's.
See, I didn't take any calc or trig.
I took calculus and it was a mistake.
That was a CMO requirement. Like, or at least that's what Cape Central told us, was that, in order for CMO, it definitely was, because if you didn't take trig pre-calc in high school and you didn't test well enough on the ACT, then you would have to take, MAO 99 and then MAO 95.
I don't know.
These were two classes that you would have to take, because you had to take a math test to get into CMO, and they would place you there. If you didn't know the trig on it, then you would have to take MAO 99, I think was the name of the class. And the problem with MAO 95 and 099, they didn't count for your math credit. Like, these were just three, like, you earned 3 credit hours for it, but they did not apply towards your math elective. So you had to take that class so that you could take college algebra.
That's terrible.
Yeah, like that's terrible. And it's just one of those really unfortunate things. Like, and like I said, college is a whole different beast.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's going to college.
Well,
not everyone goes to liberal arts colleges, which normally have you have to take all these different types of classes.
Mm-hmm. You have your gen ed that you have to take and then your specializations.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, you know, college, at least I was excited to go to college because I got to study mostly the things I wanted to study. Yeah. I had classes I didn't like, but for the most part, I took literature. I took speech. I took journalism, stuff like that. But high school is just the most soul crushing experience for somebody because this was my problem with high school, was that I knew a lot of people that were creatively gifted, or they had something they did well and that they wanted to do in life. But the problem is they were good at these things, but then bad at other things. So you have someone that has no interest in some of these other subjects that have to take them anyway because you have to.
Yep.
And then they fail those classes. And then one, it looks bad on them whenever you do try to go to college. And two, it just demoralizes you. It makes, I know, yep, how many people didn't go to college because they felt too stupid to go to college. I know people that I've said, okay, so you're going to go to college when you get out, right? Or when are you going to start college? And they go, I can't go to college. I barely got through high school. I'm an idiot. Like, that's a terrible way to make people feel. And that's what required classes like that do to people.
And it's one of those things, like, I know a couple of examples, like, my buddy Trevor, I don't think you'd mind if I, tell this little tale, cause it's not like it's embarrassing at all. He is phenomenally gifted at art. Like, some of his sculpture work, like, he's sold it for hundreds of dollars. Like, his sculptures are incredible. He does just really good stuff. And in high school, he took every art class he possibly could, including an extra independent study in sculpture. And yeah, he was just super into it. Loved that stuff. And he, like I said, he was extremely talented, but he also had to take to get into SEMO, because that's where he wanted to go to learn, you know, expand his craft. He had to take an extra, he had to take all the extra math classes. See, he had to take trig pre-calc. He had to take chemistry. Like, he and I were in chemistry together. There was another couple of classes that he just didn't do particularly well in because it wasn't his thing, but he had to take it so that he could go to school.
Yeah.
And that's the same reason I didn't get to take art classes every year in high school, because with being an academic brain, you had certain classes you had to take. So my freshman year, I had no fun classes at all because I had a certain set of things that I had to take. So my art and music and all that stuff went on hold. So I was left out a year with none of that. And then I got like one each year until my senior year. And then I was able to have a whole bunch of extra stuff.
And you suffered. You felt like you were suffering going through school. It was that
high school
experience.
Or college?
High school.
High school. Okay.
And there's a lot of places in high school, especially where the creative, I feel like the creative people, the people that go in for art and stuff like that suffer the most. Because
I know the first programs to get cut.
Yeah, I know a lot of places where art and music get cut and stuff like that.
There are, yes.
And the thought that music and art and those aren't as important as math or science or even sports.
Which
the problem?
My God,
the problem is none of those. Like, you don't get tested for art on the MAP tests, on any of the state standardized tests.
You don't.
You don't get tested for art on the ACT, on the SAT.
You also don't get tested for creative problem solving. You get tested for mathematical problem solving.
Yep. So like,
and a whole crap ton of vocab.
So like, for people like me that wanted to go into like, the STEM fields, I was fine. I did fine in school. I had a perfectly okay time in high school. I went on to college. I did fine in college and I graduated in 4 years and everything was fine. For me, then you have for Trevor, he struggled his way through high school because they required him to take classes that he wasn't good at. Then he got to college where they required him to take more classes that he wasn't good at so that he could get to his art degree. And he never ended up finishing college because it just became too much. He's going back now to try and finish it, but
it's like, to put it in terms that maybe some of our, nerd up viewers are listening to us right now. It's like being told, hey, you get to play Ocarina of Time, but you got to go through that water temple first before you can do anything else.
Oh, no.
And then they go, I don't want to do that. I'm looking forward to the end. I don't want to do this.
No, what it is, you get to play Majora's Mask, but first you have to beat every other water temple in every Zelda game.
You get to run dungeons, but first that orc needs you to go collect some apples. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I can collect the apples.
You don't enjoy it though. Well, I got through school. I didn't enjoy it. Unfortunately, the school that I went to originally in high school was such a violent school, Tanner knows, that I got pulled from it by my parents and put on homeschool because they were afraid that I was going to do something stupid. I had long hair and I wore a trench coat. That was before it was popular with killers. So
it was before Columbine.
So I was an originator.
Not too far before it.
Not too far at all. In fact, that's why I had to stop that style pretty quick. But yeah, they pulled me out and put me on homeschool, which, by the way, if you have homeschooled kids or if you, I don't know if it's changed. And so I don't want to be critical of homeschooling without knowing it now. But when I was homeschooled, in the mid to late 90s, Think about that.
Yeah.
It was basically, we'll send you a book. You answer the questions in the book, send the test back. If you fail, we'll send it back to you, redo it, and send it in again. There was a safety net under everything I did. So I did not feel the need to study or do it properly. And I hated high school, and then I hated homeschool. But then when I got to college, it was like my mind exploded by all of the things that I could do. And thankfully, I had the willpower and the thirst for knowledge to do it. But there are a lot of kids who don't because they're so demoralized and so just down when it comes to schooling.
From my understanding, homeschooling now is very similar to that, except it's all on the internet.
Yeah.
But so, homeschooling is so wide now. You have so many different programs you can put your kids into through homeschooling. Because there's just so many. And you get books, and if it's younger, your parents go through the books with you. I don't know how it is whenever you're in high school, because the people that I know that are homeschooling their kids, they're elementary school age. Homeschooling is great in the sense that you can very much teach your child at their pace, which is missing greatly from a lot of public schooling. Mm-hmm. Because you just teach at the pace they tell you to teach it.
And if they fail,
they fail. Because of the standardized stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honestly, the real problem with homeschooling, and I'm sorry cutting you off, yeah, Allie, but the real problem with the homeschooling, in my opinion, you have people that homeschool their children that have no business doing so.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion, if you are going to teach your child, especially like once you get to middle and high school, like early education, that's fine. It's generally pretty easy stuff anyway. But once you get to like middle school and high school, at that point, you need a certification to be able to homeschool your children.
My parents had no business teaching me.
And I think
and they didn't. They gave me a book and said, here it is. Here's this week or this month.
Go teach yourself.
And that's what I did. I would go study it. I'd do the test. And guess what? You got the book right there.
Mm-hmm.
So you just write down the answers and send it in. I was so bored with school.
So I was so bored with my sociology class in college because everyone was so freaking dumb. The teacher got fed up with it. And it's like, okay, here's your test. Here's your book. Here's your notebooks. Do it. It was the easiest A ever.
Of course, the opposite of that is when they make it too difficult. Some of the stuff that I helped Allie study for on her, a semester ago, when she had, 100 different things to learn, and they're going to put 10 of them on the test?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I hate those.
Oh, no, art history, that slides. That's pretty standard for art history tests wherever you go.
Yeah.
That was every class I had with Dr. Nogler. Literally anything that he talked about.
Nogler.
And I say literally anything that he talked about in class was fair game on the test. For my analysis of algorithms class, on one test, I had to answer the question, when was the Battle of Hastings? Yeah, no. Yeah,
on
you heard
algorithms?
Me right. Analysis of algorithms was the course.
Well,
because it just came up one day, like it was just one of his random tangents. He was talking about the Battle of Hastings, so we had to answer it on the test. In one of my other classes with him, I think it was
this when Hastings went out of business?
I think it was programming languages, one of my other classes that I had with Dr. Nogler. I had 5 total, so it's hard to keep track. I had to answer the question, what is the name of the official Groundhog's Day groundhog?
I know too.
I do too. And I mostly know it because of Groundhog Day. Yes. Because I knew it when he asked the question in class, but then it was on a test.
Which is weird.
And you know, for stuff that you're interested in, I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. When I was in journalism in college with John Musgrave, shout out to John Musgrave, I studied everything. I lapped it up, you know? I loved everything he could tell me about journalism, and I wanted to know it. So if there was a test, we didn't actually do tests, by the way, in journalism. We just did papers. Like, literally, we wrote for the paper.
Until you killed it.
Until I killed it. Well, it was mine to kill.
That's how I feel about my anime club in college.
But I didn't care. You could put stuff like that on there. I want to know everything about it. But if you did that to me in science, which they did in college, I don't think it was Tony Gerard, but I think it was another science teacher who gave me, you know, here's a list of stuff that could be on the test, but only 1/4 of it will be. I don't want to learn the 1/4, and nor am I going into science. So I don't see how this really concerns me. But I'll do it, and I'll waste my time doing it, and then God knows if I get a bad grade on it, I'm going to be depressed.
Now, that I never really had an issue with, them giving us way too much information and then not being there. Like, I will say all the teachers that I had were very, very open of like, this is what will be on the test. Know this. Like, they weren't, this is everything, and part of it will be on the test.
Most of my teachers were like that. except like my favorite teacher in college that I had. It was for another one of my computer science courses. The day before the test, or the class before the test, he would have the test in his hand, and he would just at the front of the class tell us, "All right, so make sure you can answer a question about this. Make sure you can answer a question about this. Make sure you can answer a question about this," and just go through it. And we would study those things, and we would be able to answer the questions on the test. And what I loved about this idea is that he would test us on the most important topics of the course, tell us that he was testing us on these questions. We would study the most important topics in the course.
What I hate about that,
brilliant,
it reminds me of when we worked at GameStop, and they would call us and say, "By the way, there's going to be a surprise visit by the DM on Wednesday, so make sure the store is in shape." If you know it's coming, it doesn't reflect how well the store was doing, because the store would be a mess, and then the moment we learned, "Oh, you have to clean it up by Tuesday," we'd have it cleaned by Tuesday. So with testing like that, I feel like you're not really, a lot of people learn this stuff because they want to learn it. But if you're taking a class you don't really care about, but you have to take it, you're not studying to begin with. And then if they say, "Okay, make sure you know this," then you're definitely not learning. You're just learning to pass that test. You're not retaining that knowledge in the future.
Or you're like me. Yeah. If it's something you don't care about, it's in. And as soon as the test is gone, it is back out.
And then you wonder, so what was the point of me doing that? Like, is it, and the answer is because, you know, schools and money and stuff. That's just the answer.
General electives. Yeah. Like I said, I know a few people that ended up changing their major because of general electives. And like I said, again, in college, I don't think it's as bad because you take a class in a field and they basically just want you to have like a well-rounded, like general knowledge base of a bunch of different fields. And then you can kind of like get a sample and move from there. Like, I'm never going to, like, photography. That was actually one that I had to take in college. Again, computer science major. I had to take a photography class.
That's weird.
I know.
But it was well-rounded.
Did you have to take a photography class, or was it one of the options in the
It was one of the options. Yeah, it was one of the options for, like, the art classes.
Your class you decided to take,
which I guess that's the difference with my school, was art specific. So unless you were an art major, you didn't touch any of those because they were filled up with the students that was their major. If you took an art class, it was an art history class, and that was it as far as your art appreciation.
Because Lindsay went to an art school.
And we didn't even get to touch our majors till second year.
Allie's going to an art school.
Yeah, well, I'm going to school for art that the school does really well with.
Jesse went to a...
No, I mean, I went to the same school that Allie's going to. It's just
I went to a glorified high school.
But the point is, yeah, like what Allie was saying, it was one of the options that I could have taken for artistic expression. But I could have said any one of those, and it still doesn't make sense for computer science, because the other options are like, there was sculpture, there was art history, there was art. I could have just taken
art. No, because the class that I took, because surprisingly, I'm an art major, but I still have to take an art expression class, because my 80 other classes don't cover it.
Yeah.
I took an online class. I forget what it was called, but literally I just had to take a quiz for one quiz each week for 4 weeks and do a really, really, really simple project. So there you go, Jesse. You missed out.
No, that's fine. I love photography. That class was a lot of fun. Actually, it was one of those things. I took the class and I was like, man, if I wasn't already in my junior year, I might consider taking another one of these photography classes.
Do you want to be broke?
Except for they don't offer very many photography.
My cousin Ryan. They do have a photography major at SEMO. They did anyway when I was there.
Because might have changed. I haven't paid attention to photography.
At this point, I want to reiterate that I know I've been bashing certain classes and you've been bashing classes and we've been bashing classes, but that's not to say that these classes aren't important.
No.
I would never tell a math teacher that he's making a mistake, because math teachers are important. Math teachers are vital to student knowledge.
And there are jobs that do require higher math.
There are a lot.
None of us just really give a crap about it. Sorry.
Yeah, I just wish there was more options to really cater to people's individuality in school.
Yeah, and again, college, not the problem.
It's high school.
High school is the problem.
College is better. Still problematic.
But with high school, in the video that brought on this conversation, that brought on this show, I was introduced to it, and then the guy that created the video did questions. He took questions and answered, and one of the questions was, well, if you don't make those classes required, no one's going to take them. And his response I really liked was, doubt people's willingness and wanting to learn. There are some people that are going to want those math classes and those.
Me. This
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. There are people. And if you write curriculums in such a way to where you actually make learning more interesting than just having everyone sit in a classroom, you're going to get people that will probably take math classes because they want to.
Yeah.
Not because this is what is going to be used in my field.
Yeah.
And the, because whenever you start in elementary school, they know you need to keep a kid interested with a lot of things, and that's how you learn a lot in elementary school. You have a lot to learn, and they keep you interested, and you ask a lot of questions, but whenever you get up into high school, it's just sitting there listening to the teacher talk, doing what you have to do to get through it all.
Because most of them have given up.
And
I did.
When you could be doing so much more, when you could have a lot more individual curriculums where students in math classes are going at their pace and they aren't required to go past a certain level. And there's more classes like woodshop.
Yeah.
Okay. And home ec and things that you are going to need.
That was
certainly
that's
later.
What started
that was what started this with the original. Let's switch over to that if you don't mind, Jesse.
No, absolutely.
We got about 14 minutes left here. It's been very informative. Good show so far. Originally, we wanted to talk about it because we realized how much math and history and science and stuff you learn in school, both grade school, high school, college, of course. But there are so many people that we all know, and you listeners out there know too, that lack the basic human functions of knowing certain things to do. And it boggles the mind that they don't spend more time at least devoting one class, make it a required class, of learning basic things. Like, and some stuff's a little bit out there. Don't get me wrong. I know that I should learn history. Mm-hmm. I know I need to learn history and what happened, how America was formed, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I know that's important. World War II. I know that is important. But why don't they teach about what's happening now? Why don't we know about the problems in
America?
They
can't put that in a book.
Well, it doesn't need a book, though.
It's not even that they can't put it in a book.
We're in a day and age that we don't need books.
The problem is that it's not on standardized tests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not on tests, and the curriculums they write are far behind.
And flawed. Like that video we saw just before that Jesse told us about, which everyone's seen, apparently, and I lied. I hadn't actually seen it. I just wanted to sound smart. Where you show a picture of a school from 150 years ago and then a picture of a school today, it's the same picture, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Updated technology and the newer stuff.
But with updated technology, you'd feel like there was a better way to teach kids that is allowed. Again, we're not blaming teachers. You have your hands tied.
Yeah, I mean, you do the best you can with the tools you're given.
And I know a lot of teachers that want to do so much more and can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't see why it's not possible to teach kids about life now, to teach them about what they need to know to survive in this world. That's ridiculous to me that so many people are taught about World War II and World War I and the Revolutionary War and stuff like that, but aren't taught about wars that are happening today.
And why they should care about it.
Or why they should care about what's happening in Africa. Why they should care about what's happening in, Paris with the attacks and just things that kids should know. You can't hide from it. And 50 years from now, they'll probably teach it.
Yeah.
50 to 100 years from now, they'll teach it about what happened before. But we don't need to know what happened 50, 100 years ago when we really need to know what's happening now.
Well, I mean, you can learn both. And I remember one of the better social studies courses that I had when I was in high school. I don't remember what teacher I had for this. But one of the things, like every week, you had to do a short essay on a current event.
Yep.
But I had
an
was probably a
history
higher
teacher level.
I don't remember. It was the basic one that I needed to graduate.
Because I didn't have to do that for mine.
We had an awesome history teacher, and I was lucky enough to actually have him twice because we had him in middle school, and then one of the high school teachers retired, and he moved up, and we got him for our senior civics class. So everything, politics, current events, that type of stuff, we had senior year with him again.
So, yeah, and it's like, that's a brilliant idea to me. Like, I feel like that should almost be a requirement because it was
class
actually.
And a current events class?
Well, in one of my history classes, when I was in high school, we actually watched the O.J. Simpson trial live.
Yeah. No, I remember them playing that stuff too.
Yeah. So, I feel like maybe not so much the O.J. Simpson trial because the only reason we watched it was because, I went to a very urban school, and this was a very racially divided court case, so everybody's eyes were on it. I mean, if you remember, if you were old enough to remember the O.J. Simpson trial, you know how important it was to America. But why we can't play CNN in school? Why we can't play news organizations or, you know, current event stuff? Like, yeah. I feel like that's important.
And like I said, the way this class worked, we would do, everybody had to write an essay once a week. It was, I don't remember if we weren't assigned. It was just on Monday, we were told like some sources that we could use. And then on Friday, we had to turn in an essay. And on Friday, that was completely devoted to the current event stuff. And if we decided we wanted to tell the class what our current event was, we could get extra credit. So
yeah, like show and tell, but important.
Right, with current events.
Not so much of your horsey that you brought home from home of yeah. What's happening in Syria.
Yeah, that was brilliant. But I know one thing, high schools these days are really catered toward getting you through those the state tests.
Yeah.
They don't care about the ACT or the SAT even. They care about like the numbers. State standardized test.
They need that money.
Because the better students do. And I remember I actually got screwed over pretty hard by, I'm putting New Madrid County on blast real quick.
Uh-oh, New Madrid.
All right, so when I was in eighth grade, normally, like, and those out there listening to you know that if you were on, like, a faster track for mathematics, you take Algebra 1 in eighth grade. That's just what you do. You do pre-algebra, 7th grade, algebra 1, 8th grade. When I was in 8th grade, yeah. They introduced a class called Basic Algebra, which is taken between pre-algebra and algebra 1. That was supposed to better prepare students for the math portion of the MAP tests, which is the Missouri Aptitude Programming or whatever it is. Like, either way,
yeah.
you had to take this class and you couldn't take algebra 1. So I was behind in math. Because I couldn't take Algebra 1 in 8th grade. So I ended up having to take two separate math classes in 1 year in my freshman year of high school. Like, I was taking Algebra 1 and Geometry in the same year, which was real rough.
You need Algebra to start Geometry.
Yeah, it was pretty rough, but I had to do that because New Madrid decided that I had to take those two classes so that I could take Calculus in high school.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to take Calculus, I had to do it. So yeah, New Madrid screwed me because they thought that us taking that course would get them better numbers on the MAP test, which is just absolutely bogus, and I'm still a little upset about it.
You're still a sore?
I'm still a little salty.
I was lucky enough that I got addition and subtraction mastered and knocked out by 10th grade.
And it's one of those things, like, the students that were in Algebra 1 weren't your problem on the math section. Like, what just frustrated me the most.
And what's up with the presidential fitness test? So you're,
seriously.
So basically, you're telling me that my entire fitness regimen is entirely whether or not I can do some pull-ups during this one period when you give me a ribbon for it. And then I fail it because I can't do a pull-up.
Oh, by the way, we're going to give you a half hour to swim 50 laps in the pool.
We didn't have a pool.
We also did not have
a
pool.
We had a
pool in junior high. Did, and it was not fun having gym class second period and not having time to get a shower before third period
you
class.
You also had archery.
We had archery for a day. Right,
you went to goddamn Stars Hollow.
Let's move past it. Stop insulting Lindsay's rich heritage. And let's move past it. All right.
Oh, you went up the bowling alley in the basement, too? Okay.
Good Lord. All right,
she's
please, Lindsay, stop.
Everybody.
All right. So, yeah, like that's a failing, in my opinion, on the school because they jeopardized my education so they can get better numbers. And they're doing it all the time
in so many
classes because it's more important. And that's why the arts classes are getting cut. PE is not getting cut because football
because
makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
Brings in a lot for
sports
the school.
Ball.
Yeah. Like sports somehow. In general, like they make a crap load of money. Like, it's insane.
Because we're teaching kids to grow up to be athletes because they know if you make it as an athlete, you will make a lot of money. And money is what is your value as a human being. As opposed to teachers, who I have said this my entire life and I stand by it, the most underappreciated people in the world. The fact that teachers make so little when they do so much
is
insane.
It really is.
We pay how much money to, you know, Tom Hanks to pretend to be a pilot, and he's good at it, by the way. Not like that Meryl Streep, most overrated actress in Hollywood. We pay him so much money to do that. But someone that actually sculpts the minds of the future of our world gets paid less than, I mean, I know a lot of people that work in like dockyards. Oh, not dockyards.
No, that was actually, okay, so fun story about this. My friend Allie, Jesus. I know a lot about Alley
Ball.
No. I don't actually know that Alley personally.
Good
Lord. My sister's name is also Alley, by
stop
the way.
It.
I know
just
so many.
Stop.
So my friend Alley.
That one.
So my friend Alley, she was actually like president of FTA, the Future Teachers of America, in high school. Like she was dead set. That was her career choice. So she gets into college, and she's in college for a couple of years, and then she needs to make a little bit of extra money on the side, so she starts working at Starbucks. And Starbucks is actually paying her pretty good money here, and then they tell her about the fast track to management. And then they tell her how much money managers make. She was going to make about $10,000 more annually in her first year of being a store manager at a Starbucks than a teacher would make after 10 years.
And that's terrible.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous.
How can you justify telling these people, these teachers, telling them, okay, you're going to teach our kids and you're going to shape the future, but we're going to pay you shit for it.
Yep.
Because you don't deserve it.
So yeah, that's
and
actually
that's where you get the unmotivated teachers that,
which they should be. I mean, there's only so much you can do based on pride before, you know, and
I mean,
you really
just have to go into that field with a passion for helping the kids.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other reason to go into it. You just have to have an incredible passion because there's so much sacrifice that goes into it. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous. Like, how much of yourself you have to give up to help these kids. And again, Allie dropped out of college to pursue a career at Starbucks because it was the smarter move.
Yeah.
Financially.
Yeah. If you want to make money. Yeah.
And she was one of the most passionate people about teaching that I ever knew. She was actually in high school doing some of like the block stuff where she was, getting a head start on her education degree by going to different schools and being a TA. Like, some of the elementary schools, she spent like part of her senior year doing, TA work at an elementary school.
I had a friend that did that too.
And quit it because she made more money slinging coffee.
Yep. Significant. And that's not even including tips.
And that's why, again, I want to say I love teachers. I respect teachers, even the ones I don't like personally. And if you take anything away from this conversation we've had here tonight, let me know, because I have no idea what we accomplished other than to vent about how frustrating
the education system
is.
The spark notes are, standardized testing is a joke, and it's like, that's probably the most damaging thing to the education system.
Teachers are precious cargo and deserve way better than they get.
Absolutely.
We need more creative, individualized curriculums.
Yes.
And Lindsay was a spoiled rich brat.
We shouldn't punish our artistic and creative minds. Because they don't know math. Or they don't understand math.
Creative problem solving is so, so important in this world that you cannot just brush it off.
So, yeah, we can't, like that, those are the things you should take away.
And the point that we didn't really get to that originally sparked it is that they don't teach them basic life skills.
Like,
how to do
your
taxes. Or knowing to balance your checkbook properly. Like, our school did do a class, you took it as a freshman. That should be something you take as a senior.
One class, financial management,
as a
senior.
One
semester.
It was one semester, yeah.
But in eighth grade, I had a class where they taught me how to write a check. That was it.
Yeah, but the Cape Central, the problem with the Cape Central course, it's kind of a joke.
It really was.
In that, learn how to balance a checkbook. We learned how to apply for a loan.
Oh, see, we didn't even do that.
We learned how to buy a house,
we learned how to finance for a house.
Yeah, so whenever you took the course, one of the most ridiculous things, they gave us a budget for the house that we could get, and it was astronomical.
Yes.
I remember I bought a house.
Jesse, here's $10 million.
It wasn't even, we didn't even have a budget. We just had to figure out how much the house was going to cost us at the end.
Oh, see, they gave us an astronomical budget. I guess they just got rid of that because my house was in the mountains. And it was in, it was in Colorado. And the cool thing about, like, this mountain beautiful home is that I had mountains on one side and I had a lake on the other side. I had a lake with a beach.
Jeez.
On the other side. Like, this home was like,
where are you getting this cash?
They gave us like a $10 million budget on a house. So, like, this is such pie in the sky.
I'll be over here in a cardboard box. Thank you.
Yeah. And we had to get a poster board. We had to take a picture of the house, put on there, like, all the costs and everything else of the house. And I'm sitting here, like, I finished the class and I'm looking back at this thing, like, I will never have that.
It's just, no, I thought about this and I go, I don't remember how to do that. I remember having to glue some things to a poster board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I did too. It was macaroni.
I also remember my teacher being distracted because I had it for first semester. So she was the cheerleading coach as well. Oh,
yes. She was more interested in the girls in short skirts.
No, she was a cheerleading coach.
What?
It was football season and I had a bunch of football players in my class. So it was just like, so did you see that game? Did you see that call? And then half the class was gone.
Most of my classes, the things you heard were, the words I heard most were white boys. Heard that a lot. Trailer. Because I told myself that over and over again and remind myself of that house that Jesse had that I'll never have.
Oh no, I'm never going to have that house either. This was an imaginary, like I said, mm-hmm. astronomical budget.
And the only
we didn't
thing,
even have one.
She got
we didn't even have one. We could just find a house and we had to figure out how much it was going to cost.
They gave
the
us this luxury home website to look through.
The only good
they
thing
just
about
gave
school,
us the internet.
If we can all agree on, was chocolate milk on Tuesdays.
Oh, we had chocolate,
we had
milk,
chocolate
every
milk every day.
You rich bitches! My God!
We had strawberry milk every once in a while.
In high school, I could have whatever I wanted.
Yeah, no,
I
mean, not us.
High school, I had slush puppies and chocolate
slush
ice cream
puppies.
Sandwiches.
What's a slush puppy? What?
An icy.
Oh.
It's a specific type of slushy.
So you had... You're oh, sucking down slush puppies.
And chocolate ice cream
sandwiches.
Let's not
tell him how Cape Central lunches were because he'll get real mad.
I'll get to you in a second. You're sucking down slush puppies and bowling in the basement.
Well, no, we didn't get to actually bowl in the basement.
I've got one basketball and it's warped.
Yeah, so...
Well, I mean, after I left, they eventually got a Wii.
A Ouija?
No, they had a Wii and set up like Dance Dance Revolution for the kids. Well, it was PlayStation, I guess, on that one. Yeah, that was after my brother
my
was
physics
in high
teacher
school.
Brought in an Xbox.
No, show's done. The only thing I ever saw cool in my one of the kids had one of those watches that also doubled as like a remote.
The calculator?
No, it was like a TV remote.
Ooh.
And then one of the substitute teachers brought in a video to make us watch, and I guess
and
he
kept
synced
changing
it up
it.
And he kept turning it off. And the teacher got so frustrated that he just like quit and just said, just put your heads down and go to sleep. Which they didn't do. Instead, one of them went to sleep. The other kid pulled his pants down and shoved his ass in that kid's face. To which the teacher did nothing.
Boy, you really did go to rural Southern Illinois.
I didn't bowl. That's Christ,
I'm
sure.
Trying to tell you we didn't. It was just in the basement of the school. We weren't allowed to utilize it. It was like under the stage or something.
See, it was one of those things that like they made them look like hillbillies. They didn't even want to use the bowling. They went up to the yacht area and
did
shuffleboard.
No, we had forced to take weight training.
Have a good night, everybody. Lindsay, congratulations on your second place tournament victory in Pokemon online card game.
Yay.
I'm proud of you. I want to see your card.
I got a silver medal.
I want to see your medal when we get home or something.
I mean, it's digital. All I did was get 4 booster packs and I've already opened them.
Well, not going to touch it. No, show's over. Thank you guys for listening. Jesse, Allie, Lindsay, thanks. Fuck it. I'm going home.